Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. To kick off today's show, we're going to hear some more from the recent ICHA Fishing Derby, some of the on-location interviews I was lucky enough to have a chance to do.
Cam Wells here with
Eric Levy.
He'll be telling us a little bit about his experiences today at the ICHA Fishing Derby. So what can you tell me about it?
Well, this is my fourth annual Fishing Derby. I actually made the front cover of the actual Fishing Derby that I didn't know of until a worker was like, "Oh, did you know you made the front page?" I was like, "Really?" And then also Cam told me about it too when we were in college. But I'm having a lot of fun. Second year in a row where I haven't caught anything.
So what keeps you coming back?
Just the fun and seeing the new people and getting hints and tips on how to fish.
So what do you think of the ICHA providing this opportunity for people with disabilities?
It's kind of fun having a free fishing derby every June because I fish myself and it costs pretty good money to get your license and everything at that.
So, how do you find that the participants are responding to it?
Really nicely. They're really good to people who have disabilities that don't know how to fish and can't do it on their own. Kind of help out here and there. Some people are afraid of the fish, so get the professional fishermen to do whatever they need to take it off the hook and everything.
So, what's been the biggest high point for you?
The high point for me is to enjoy myself. I sometimes don't like to touch the fish myself, but I gotta step up and take it for the people. So
if you could send any message to the community about why this is important and why similar things should be happening,
if I send this to the community, it would be a good opportunity because they'll be aware from most of the people because some people don't know about this. It's kind of going on, I don't know how many years it's been on.
16
years, so basically some people don't know it. And they're trying to get it out in the community, but some people just don't realize it, that it's free.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Yeah, basically like that. Professional fishermen could be right now in Florida fishing for anything, but they're out here taking their time to help us out and fish.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Now another little bit from the derby.
Cam Wells here with
Mike Borovic.
He'll be telling us a little bit about his experiences here at the ICHA Fishing Derby. So tell me a little bit about what's brought you here today.
What's brought me here to this event is it's an annual event. It's only done once a year, but it's such an amazing event, and there isn't any event, and we know that there's a lot of festivals in the Windsor area, but none of them touch my heart as much as the ICHA Fishing Derby, and that is because of these individuals here. When you see their smile on their face and the love that they have, it's just being here is amazing. And for a lot of these individuals, they only get out fishing once a year.
So what first inspired you to want to be a part of it?
The passion, I'm feeding off the passion that I see from the anglers.
So, there been any challenges in coordinating this event today?
There have been a lot of challenges. Like today, yesterday it was 95 degrees. Today we're 72 degrees. So an adjustment, and we always pray that we don't have the rain. And once again, we're lucky again this year we don't have the rain. So
in your time at the Derby, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
Everybody walks away happy, and there's been no injuries, and everybody has a good time and a smile.
So for the future, do you see these events getting bigger and better? Or?
I would hope so, especially that we've got people from the United States of America coming here. We've got Italo putting it on his television show. We've got CFN down here. We've got Bait Cloud. This year we've got Mike Parker from Musky Lures down here. I see it growing and getting bigger and bigger and better. It's drawing a lot of attention to us.
So if you could send any message to the community about why this is important, what would it be?
This is important because it shows our love for one another and it brings us all together. And most important, like I said earlier, these individuals, sometimes for some of them, this is the only time they get to get out and go fishing until next year.
Thank you very much for taking the time.
Cam, thank you very much. It's been a great, great event.
My pleasure.
To kind of wrap up our coverage of this year's Derby, which, by the way, was an incredible event, now we're going to hear from a recent guest, Scotty Martin, who... he just has this great enthusiasm, this great passion for this event. Really a pleasure to talk to him about it.
This is Cam Wells here with
Scotty Martin of the Canadian Fishing Network.
And he's going to be telling us a little bit about what he's seen here at the 16th annual Handy Capable Fishing Derby today.
I'll tell you, it is an honor and a privilege to be down at this event. And I have to thank the volunteers and, of course, Pat and his many sponsors that put this event on. And it is such a success because of all of the hard work. But I'll tell you, the big reason you come down here and you want to get involved is to be able to see a child smile that may not have a lot to smile about. And I tell you, it warms the heart to see the amount of happiness here on the pier.
And what's been the biggest highlight so far for you today?
I'll tell you, it's ongoing. As you're sitting here watching kids catch fish, like, the excitement is just, I don't know, it gets you inspired to want to go fishing yourself.
So were there any challenges in arranging for you to be here and just be a part of the whole thing?
No, you set aside any challenge that you might be faced with. When you find out the importance of what it means to be here, there are no challenges. You just come.
So have you found it to be similar or different from last year's?
It's, you know what, it's different and unique each year that it's put on in a great way, in a positive way. But I'll be honest with you, nothing is out of the unexpected. It is exactly what we anticipate it to be each and every year. The excitement is incredible. You can hear it in the background.
So what do you think is going to happen going forward? Do you think the event's going to continue to grow and expand?
I know that's exactly what we want to do. I've been talking to the board of directors, and we want to maybe bring this across the border and have the great people of Detroit, who have some great organizations, maybe share in this event and bring some of their people over as well. And I think all it's going to do is get bigger and better.
So, since part of my listener base is, in fact, Detroit, do you have anything you want to say to the good people about this?
We're waiting.
So, what's been the biggest moment for you here today?
I'll be honest with you. Emceeing is an honor. To stand before all of my peers, the fishing community at large, and, of course, all the ICHA volunteers and participants, and to be able to address the crowd and get them pumped up and get ready for fishing. It's truly an honor. That's why I come down here each and every year to do this, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
So is there anything else you'd like to share?
Anybody that's interested in participating, helping out, getting involved in a sponsorship, maybe you have a group that you'd want to bring down and you're not sure with the ICHA, Pat Pagano is the contact. I really encourage you to get in touch with him. He has a lot of great information, and if you want to know more about ICHA and the Fishing Derby, he's your man.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
No problem, Cam. It's been a pleasure, as always.
My friends, I wanted to highlight some more amazing happenings at the Derby, because this really is a great event within the disability community. Fact is, it started off very, very small with only about 10 participants, if I remember correctly. And it's grown to over 100. And there's food, there's entertainment, there's water safety, there's even a flyboard show. This is something that's very, very accessible to the non-disabled community. People who don't necessarily have disabilities or diagnosed disabilities can come in, look at an event like this, and say, that's really remarkable. These kids, these young people, are just having a great time. They're just coming out, doing something they enjoy, and they're not limited by what we go by with this stereotypical model of person with a disability should be a recluse, should be just in their shell, not coming out to an event like that, having fun, having that great sense of community. In a way, it is defying the old school precepts of disability life. But the more a person with a disability is out there in the community, the more commonplace it becomes. Now, in this case, that's not necessarily a bad thing. The community grows by its interactions with anyone with a disability. When Scotty Martin started to be involved with this, it was because somebody asked him to. But by the fact that he got involved, he developed a real passion, a real appreciation for what's going on. And it is very unique. But the truth is, it comes down to taking that step, to stepping outside yourself and saying, I want to know more about different types of people. I want to know what it is that makes the community complete. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
For over 40 years, the Multicultural Council of Windsor and Essex County has dazzled us with the Carousel of Nations and invites you to continue the experience. This year's carousel runs from June 15th to 24th, with ethnocultural groups opening their cultural centers in celebration of their home countries. Visitors can delight in the tastes, sounds, and traditions of these cultures. CJAM FM is a proud sponsor of the Carousel of Nations running June 15th to 24th. More information at carouselofnations.com.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about the ICHA Fishing Derby from a number of different perspectives. In this segment of our show, we're going to hear a little bit about disabilities prevention. In this next segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Mark White, who will be telling us a little bit about disability prevention. So tell me a little bit about the Institute.
Well, the Work Wellness and Disability Prevention Institute is really focused on the prevention of what we call impairment-related job loss, as well as elimination of worklessness and there with a focus on worklessness related to folks with impairments and disabilities.
So how do you go about providing education as to what's preventable and how to integrate people with disabilities into the workplace?
More of a research and knowledge translation organization. So part of our mission is really to fast track what do we know about particular issues from a research basis. So what's the evidence around best practices and how might that impact policy, current evidence, policy, training, and practice, both for people who people with disabilities, as well as their support network, as well as employers, family members, etc. So we're really sort of looking at it from a big picture, and in terms of the spectrum, we're looking at issues ranging from mostly sort of acquired disabilities and injuries, but embedded in that also are issues related to mental health, as mental health has an impact across a whole range of the population. You can have mental health issues in addition to other impairments or disabilities or chronic disease.
So, in terms of mental health specifically, what are some of the myths out there according to some of the research you've done?
Well, there's still there's quite a lot of stigma still attached with mental health, and there's also a lack of awareness of the prevalence that, you know, at least if we think about in the workplace, you know, we're talking still about quite a number of people in the workplace who have mental health issues, anxiety, depression being probably the most common already. And so whether or not the employer is aware of that or not, but there's also issues for folks that have schizophrenia and bipolar issues as well. And so I think that there's confusion around that, as well as the employability and work capability of people with those types of conditions.
So
I think that people get confused. They look at the condition rather than look at what all the other competencies and skills people bring to the table, which is a common issue with people with disabilities. They, you know, and we have that whole spectrum of folks with impairments and disabilities as well.
So I'm going to guess that these issues and barriers are that much worse if a person is walking around with an undiagnosed disability, for example.
Well, yes, it can be. So, for instance, if we look at issues around what we call presenteeism, so that would be issues of where someone is at work but is not really present, and it may be that they have issues, you know, so for instance, someone who with a mental health condition that has rumination, where they have repeated thoughts, that and that may actually prevent them from being very productive if it's not well treated or accommodated, recognized that that is an issue for that person. So that could be an example.
So if you could send any one message about why it is that these barriers and myths should be taken away and what should happen, what would you say?
Cam, can you repeat that?
So if you could send a message to society about why it is we should include people with disabilities in the workforce and what we can do to get rid of some of these myths and barriers, what would you say?
Well, I would say that, one, there's that you probably are already accommodating people with chronic disease and conditions already that you may just be unaware of. That would be the most common, that employers are already accommodating people with disabilities, but and many of those people have invisible disabilities. So I think that the issue really is how do we foster abilities across our human resources, and that's all people. So how do we build on the strength of our workforce, as well as the other myths are that some of the methods or ways of accommodating people don't cost anything or have minimal cost, you know, so that there can be a technology component that there may be an initial cost. In some cases, that could be someone who has hearing loss or is blind or has issues that require some accessibility, someone in a wheelchair. But beyond the accessible, making the workplace accessible, there's very little cost. The other side is that from research, we know that people with disabilities that are in productive and meaningful work actually work very hard and are, so they're very good producers. They also don't do a lot of turnover with work, so you get a steady, stable workforce. And there's a lot more sort of commitment to the workplace, particularly if they're in an environment that's already safe, psychologically healthy, and already inclusive and productive workplaces. And that's part of what our focus is really how do we create safe, psychologically healthy, inclusive, and productive workplaces. Workplaces that people want to be in and feel supported regardless of their health condition.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Oh, you're welcome. That is our public access webinar series.
Alrighty. How can people find out more?
Okay. Should I talk now or do it afterwards?
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So one of the things that we offer the public are free webinars. These are what we call research to practice webinars. So they're researchers that are looking at a broad range of issues, chronic disease in the workplace, as well as effective workplaces. That also includes accommodating people with a variety of conditions. And these are all public access webinars. They're started off as live webinars that people can sign up for, and once again, they're free. They can watch a recorded webinar, and these are available on our website, which is www.dpi.org.
Thank you very much. Disability prevention, my friends, sounds so simple. You eat right, you exercise, try to reduce stress, common sense things. The fact is, there's always more to it. There's always the genetic factor, the health risks we're predisposed to, plus our own education of what a disability is, what it can mean. People might have a tendency to know more about any given condition if it runs in their family. So, they might look into it. They might gain a base knowledge, a base understanding. That's a good step. But the fact is, there's always the tendency, if a disability is acquired or comes along, people might look at it as a curse or a punishment by the universe, or they might just go into a full-on panic. The fact of the matter is, it's not something to be dreaded. It's not something to be bitter about. It is simply a factor of life. Yeah, you can take certain steps to reduce your risk and disabilities. Fact is, sometimes it just happens because it happens. But people should keep an open mind and not automatically jump to the card that says, my life is over because I was injured in a workplace, or I'm never going to have financial security. I'll never be able to get to the places I want, do the things I want, what have you. You can't automatically go there. Try different things, folks. Learn to adapt. That could be one of the biggest deterrents in all of disability life. Resistance to adaptation, to coming to terms with what you still can do. I knew long, long time ago, I was acquainted with a blind photographer. And if he can do that, why are we so quick to dismiss the possibilities of what people are really capable of? Why can't we look beyond the obvious, beyond the surface, and to say, I'm going to take whatever steps I can today to reduce my risk, but if something happens, I'm not going to let it take over me. I'm not going to let it destroy me. Because it will simply be a change in my routine, my regimen. Fact is, disability does not have to be a limit. It doesn't have to subscribe to any of the myths or stereotypes that society so often puts upon them. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. What Mark mentioned about gathering research concerning disability prevention, that really is critical. It's really the key. Understanding what should be in place, safety-wise, and just in terms of public education, how we can all take those steps to protect one another, to advocate for one another, just to be a part of making sure the community is just all it can be. But the fact is, person with a disability may be able to work just the same as an able-bodied person. They can work safely, efficiently. They can create, do their jobs, and do them well. Question is, are we going to impose limits based on what we think might happen? Are we to do that? Is there no room in our minds for expansion to say, if a person acquires a disability on the job site and then wants to come back to work, is there no way we can do that? Take one of my favorite examples, one of the most obvious ones. A doctor whose hands are injured may say, I'll never be able to effectively practice medicine again. That's not true. You can still teach. You can still practice to some degree. True. You won't be able to do it in the same way. That is all of life, my friends. It's adaptation. It's finding what you can do and making it work. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.